Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says this, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And many times I've not allowed the peace of God to rule in my heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. And that's become a prayer request of mine. I want Him to rule in my heart. Many times I'm troubled and I don't have peace in my heart. Even though I'm saved, and even though I've been on this journey for a long time, things come up and it robs me of my peace. But in my heart, I want the peace of God to rule in my heart. And I would challenge you, if you're going around troubled about things of this life, and some things are concerns, there's not a doubt about that. But I would just challenge you to seek to let the peace of God rule in your heart. I don't know why I said that tonight, but I just felt like I need to say that. I want to turn to Hebrews 6. I'm going to talk to you for a little moment, for a little bit. I don't think I'll keep you too long tonight, but I want to dwell on a little thought tonight that I've preached on before and just kind of go over a few things with you. But before I do, would you pray with me and for me? Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to You and I'm very needy of You. And Father, You know the need of the hour tonight. You know Your people this evening. And I pray, Father, if You would, please help us. Father, I pray You put a guard upon my mouth and help me to say nothing I shouldn't say and everything I should say. Give me clarity of thought and speech. Speak to each heart tonight. And Father, You do in our life what needs doing. And we'll thank You and praise You for all You do. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen and amen. This time of year, I always get I don't know what the word is. I start thinking about how effective we've been as a church and what kind of year. Have we made a mark for God this year? And I start just wrestling around with those things. There's a word, I guess, to describe that, but I'm reflective of the year. And I start thinking about where we're at and where we need to be and those kind of things. And so maybe that's what precipitates some of my preaching as we near the year's end. And I want to preach on this thought, if the Lord, really not preach, I think I just want to talk to you tonight on this thought. Well, let's read verse 1, then I'll give you the phrase that I want to use. The Bible says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, which we know to be maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." And the little phrase I want us to focus in on is, let us go on. Let us go on. And I could add a couple of words to that. Let us go on unto perfection, which speaks of maturity. And I understand in the context of this passage, we're talking about doctrinally. I understand that. But I think there is an application for us as well that we can make for our own lives. Let us go on in service to the Lord. And that's kind of where I want us to think about for a little bit this evening. And I'll just mention a few things and be through tonight. Here's what happens in the Christian life. What's right for an individual or a church at one point, somewhere along the line, may not be the way it needs to be later on. Let's just turn tonight. Luke chapter 16. Let me just share a few things with you. And I want to say this, and I want you to think in this way, it is the will of the Lord that we go on to maturity. Whether it be an individual, whether it be a family, or whether it be a church. And I would ask you, dads, you head of households, I would ask you this, has your family went on for the Lord this year? Have you went on? Have you advanced? Have you progressed towards a more mature position as a family, spiritually speaking, than you were last year? And I think we can even go as far to say this, it is the Lord's will that we progress to spiritual maturity. And I think we need to take a moment and reflect individually. I think we need to reflect as a family. And I think we need to reflect as a church. And I'm convinced of this, the Lord wants us to go on. And in my heart, I want to go on. Now here's how I think this thing works. In Luke chapter 16, well, I've got the wrong passage. Some of y'all help me. Where it talks about, well, maybe it's verse 10. Let's look in verse 10. The Bible says this, he, chapter 16 of Luke, verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Now here's what I'm trying to say to you tonight. If we as a church have been faithful in the little things, God will give us more to do. I believe that principle's true. I believe this principle's true for a family. If your family's faithful spiritually in the small things, God will place greater responsibility on you. Here's what I think about you preachers. If you're faithful in the little things, God will put more on you to do. And I'm convinced of that. You young folks, if you're faithful in the little things, God's going to put more on you to do. I think that's how it works. And if you're unfaithful in the little things, I'm convinced of this, He'll just set you on the shelf. And He'll let you sit there until you repent and get right and prove yourself to be faithful. So as the Lord places more responsibility on us, it changes who we are and what we need to be doing. And so that's kind of where I'm coming from. I'm making application from our text in Hebrews 6 about going on. And I'm making application to our lives and to our homes and to our church. Now, here's the question, and here's what's asked sometimes. How do we do that? How is it we go on if we're so minded? And by the way, you have to have a mind to go on. You have to want to go on. You ought to ask yourself, and some of God's people do not want to go on. They just, and I know I preach along these lines many times, but the burden of my heart is to see God's people and to see our church go on and expand and do more for the glory of God. I think any pastor that's worth anything, and really any dad or head of household that's worth anything, wants to see their family go on spiritually, or a pastor wants to see his church go on spiritually. And so how does that happen? I look across this congregation. We had 90 this morning. Maybe we've got 60 tonight. Would you think that? Or 50? I don't know. I don't know what the number is. But it doesn't matter. But here's, I think, I just want to share my heart on a few things with you. And I'm really not, I don't know that I'm preaching tonight as much as I'm just talking to you. Number one, we need to know, you need to know for your home and for your life, the state of your flock. Now here's what Proverbs says. Let me see if I can, maybe I wrote that down and maybe I didn't. It doesn't look like I did, but Proverbs teaches us, I think it's chapter 29, teaches us we need to know the state of our flocks, plural. You need to know the state. Here's what I want to say if we're going to go on. We need to know where we're at. And we need to know who we are. And I guess I'll just speak to the Ridgeview Baptist Church since I'm preaching to the church. But this has application to your home. Let me ask you, who are we? Who are we? And where are you at spiritually? Now, and this little phrase has stayed with me. Are we maintainers or achievers by nature? Do we just want to hold everything status quo, keep everything where it's at? Or do we want our influence, our ministry for God to expand? Now, I think that's a fair question. And if we do want to go on, and I understand, it's up to me to understand the state of our flock. I understand that. But are we maintainers or are we achievers? I think most of us by nature fall into one of those categories. I think from our text, when the Lord speaks of us going on, and he's speaking to the Hebrews doctrinally, but I think that a principle can apply to a lot of things. I think the Lord wants us to go on. If we've been faithful in little, he will want us to expand. And so, are we maintainers or are we achievers? And then, I think it's right to ask this question, are we stable believers or are we unstable? Now, here's why I preach this on Sunday night or talk about this on Sunday night, because this most likely is the church crowd right here. It's the church crowd. Are we stable? Are we dependable? Maybe that'd be a better word. I don't know. Are you going to be here through thick and thin? Are we fly by night? Are we fair weather Christians? I think those questions have to be asked. And Mom and Dad, you ought to ask yourself that about your children. It's important that we, as much as in us is, stabilize. We have to be stable Christians. We can use the Bible word steadfast and unmovable if you want to go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Are we steadfast? Are we going to be here through thick and thin? Can we lean on each other for the needs of the church? Now, what I ought to do, what I should have done tonight, is have about 10 tie-up shoes and get 10 people up here and tell them to take one finger and tie that shoe. There would be 10 people with 10 fingers, one finger each, trying to tie a shoe. And you know this, if you stop and think about it, 10 people trying to tie a shoe individually with one finger, it can't be done. Y'all believe that, don't you? It can't be done. But I could take one man and those 10 fingers working together could tie that shoe maybe in 5 or 6 seconds, depending on how fast. And the point is this, us being able to depend on one another can accomplish more for the glory of God than we all can working individually. And that's called synergy. That's a little phrase that I learned in the workforce, teaching that working together we can accomplish much more than we can working individually. And so are we stable? Can we depend on one another as we seek to know the state of our flock? Can the Lord count on us for the long term? I hope you're asking these questions to yourself. Are you committed for the long term for the Lord? Now, I can just tell you, I'm in it for whatever comes or goes. I have invested heavily in the work of the Lord at the Ridgeview Baptist Church. And then we ask ourselves this, can we shoulder a load? Some people, you can't count on them to carry their fair share of the load. Now, that's one of the things about being a pastor, when you start learning who the people are. In fact, I had an individual say to me one time, me and my family, we just can't carry much of a load. That was said to me early on when I came to this church, and maybe that's so. And maybe, and I suspect it to be so, there's just folks who are not going to or can't, I don't know which it is, carry much of a load in the Lord's work. And I'm not being critical. Maybe you're just not a load bearer. I don't know. But I have to ask myself, as I'm wanting to expand and in my heart to do more for God, I'd like to make a greater mark for God. Would you? You don't have to answer or really shake your head or anything, but you need to ask yourself that. Do you want to expand? And if you do, can we shoulder a bigger load as a church? That's kind of what's on my mind. Here we are, we're starting into a new year. And the fact of it, church, I'd like to do more than we did this year. And maybe I'm a little premature on this. Maybe I ought to wait till the first of the year, but this is where my burden's at. And as I weigh where we've been and what we've done, I don't know that we've made much of a mark in the community. And I take that responsibility. I take that, it's my fault. I take that fault, if you want to say it that way. And so can we shoulder a load? Can we handle more than what we're doing? Now some, I think they're about maxed out. Are we unified? Are we willing to sacrifice? And if we are willing to sacrifice, how much? Those are the questions that run through my mind. And then I have to ask myself this. Do we have God's hand upon our church? Is God on the Ridgeview Baptist Church? I don't know that I have the answer to all of that. I have some suspects, some ideas, maybe some thoughts on it. But I will say this. I believe we've got as solid a group as we've ever had. I do believe that. Now, is that saying a whole lot? I don't know. But I believe we've got as faithful a people as we've ever had. And so the first thing, if we're going to go on, we have to know the state of our flock. And Dad, if you're going to take your family on, you need to figure out where they're at. Because if you don't know where you're at, it's going to be hard to go where you need to go. And so that's some things that are in my mind. Now, if we do have a faithful group of people, if we're going to go on for the Lord, there's some things that has to happen. Number one, the Lord has to have first place in your life. Now, everybody, that's ABC primary Sunday school teaching. The Lord has to be first, and we all know that. But I'm afraid sometimes that we know that, but the Lord does not have first place in our life. And the reason He doesn't, I think we fail to believe what the Bible says. I want to read to you, and maybe I understand Matthew is a kingdom book, and you can say I'm taking this out of context, but the principle is a principle for us to live by. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, you all can quote it. You know exactly what I'm going to read. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, if you look at the verse right above it, there's concern about what shall we eat and what shall we drink and wherewithal shall we be clothed. And He says, if you put God first, I'll take care of these other things in your life. Now, here's what I'm asking. Do we believe that? I'm not telling you to quit your job or do anything like that. All I'm telling you is, are you putting God first in your life? Now let me say this. I think some of us can't do that because we're entangled in the affairs of this life. Here's what I see, and it troubles me. I see people doing less for the church but adding more things in their life that's not church, and they're not giving more to the church and less to the world, but they're bringing more things in their life and they're wanting to do less in the Lord's work. Now, can I tell you, that troubles me. That troubles me. There's some of you who have committed to things in this church that you're not doing, but you're adding things in your life that cause you to be more busy. Something's wrong somewhere. Amen. That's right. You can get mad at me if you want to, but when you're busying up your life with the fires of this world and you're ignoring the things in the house of God that you're committed to, something's wrong somewhere. Amen. Now, you can get mad if you want to, but that's truth. Let me just read it to you. I'm not going to talk long tonight. But 2 Timothy. And here's what it says. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But verse 4 of chapter 2 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Here's what the Lord said. If you're serious about being in the spiritual battle, you don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Now, when you get entangled, it's hard to get unentangled. Here's how some people say it. They didn't get there overnight. They won't get back where they need to be overnight. I don't know, and I could tell you some experiences. I've gotten in briar patches. Maybe being out as a boy, I tried to hunt a little bit, and I'd be out in the woods, and sometimes I'd just get, they'd be across my back and around my arms, and it'd take me a while to get unentangled. And I think that's how it is in our Christian life. Here's what I wonder. I wonder if we're not allowing ourselves to get entangled in the affairs of this life. Not sin. I'm not necessarily talking about sin, but just things which tie up our time and our energy and our effort and take away from the things of the Lord. I wonder that, church. And can I say, I don't know if we can be entangled and still put God first in our life. And I want to go to the verse right above it too. I'll tell you another reason we don't put God first, because we're not purposed or committed to endure hardness as a good soldier. Here's what I'm saying. When it gets hard, we just quit. I've seen parents tell their kids when it gets difficult for them, just quit. That's not biblical truth. God's people's to endure hardness. Sometimes it's not easy. And when you tell your children, mom and dad, that when it gets a little difficult or they bow up on you, just quit and forget about it, you're teaching them the wrong thing. That'll carry over spiritually. Well, I don't know why I'm getting all stirred up about that, but my, we're trying to teach these children work ethics around here. You know why I sing the strings, why they sing so much? Because they work at what they're doing. You may think they're a terrible group, but I'm going to tell you, they work hard to be what they are. They're not haphazard about their singing. They're sincerely trying to do what they do for the Lord to the best of their ability. That's the way it ought to be. Somebody ought to say amen to that, because that's right. We don't endure hardness. We roll over and give in to it. And we're teaching the next generation to do that. And here's what I say, shame on us. Shame on us. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Here's what I'm trying to say to you tonight. If we're going to put the Lord first, and my, there's some other things I could say on that. If we're going to put the Lord first, we're going to have to endure hardness. And we're going to have to stay unentangled. And I'm not sure God's people is willing to do that now. I mean, prosperity has become our enemy. It's become our enemy, and it's almost become a necessity of our life. But then, not only do you have to know who you are and where you're at, and not only do you have to put Him first and endure hardness and stay unentangled, but there has to be, if we're going on, there has to be a direction and a plan. Now I was just going to take my time tonight, and maybe I ought to do that. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles 28. I don't like turning a whole lot, but I feel like tonight maybe it would do us good. 1 Chronicles 28. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 11, it's the passage is dealing with the building of the temple. And it was in David's heart to build the temple. But God said he's a man of blood or man of war, and he couldn't build the temple. He said it was a good thing, David, that it was in your heart, but you can't do it. But I want you to notice what David did in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 11. Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch. Look at verse 12. And the pattern of all that he had by the spirit of the courts. Notice chapter 29, verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for the things to be made of gold and the silver. And if you skip on down, let me just be brief in reading. And the brass, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, and the onyx stones and stones to be set. In other words, here's what he said. I've given the pattern. I've set the direction. Here's the man of God, and he set the direction for what's in his heart. He can't do it, but he set the direction. Has a pattern, and he's gathered up materials, and he's doing what he can, if I can say it that way. If you'd let me say it that way. He set the direction for Solomon. Solomon actually built the temple, but it was David that gave him the pattern. Of course, the pattern came from God, but it was David who gave that pattern, who set that direction, who had the plan, the blueprint, who knew how things were to go. And so there has to be direction. If we expand, if we do more, if we go on for God, there has to be a direction that we go in. And same for your home. There ought to be a plan, a spiritual plan you try to follow in your home. Now here's what I've heard. We're so busy at the church, and we're so busy, my family so busy individually, we just don't have a plan. Can I tell you, if they're too busy, you take those who are not too busy and you have a plan to try to promote spirituality among your children. I think that's important. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it again. I've said it 100 times here. This church will only be as spiritual as the homes that make it up. If you've got a worldly home, and 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 you've got a worldly home, we'll have a worldly church. That's how it is. And there's a lot riding on you head of households, and I really hadn't maybe pushed the importance of that. But it's critical, dads, that you have godly homes. It's going to affect the church. It'll hinder the church if we have ungodly homes. And so I challenge you, have a direction and a plan for your children. And if your children's grown and they're running their own life and doing their own thing, maybe if you've got a few children at home that's not doing that, you can do what you can do with what you got left, is what I'm trying to say. Do the best you can. Make an effort. Don't write it off because you're too busy or because we're at the church on a regular basis or whatever it is. Have some kind of plan. Have something in place to promote the spiritual well-being of your family and your home. That's necessary. That's necessary. Just as it is for the church, there has to be direction. And then I want to say this, if we ever go on, there's going to have to be additional sacrifice. Here's what I've heard some people say, I'm not going to give as much, I'm not going to invest as much, I'm not going to do as much. Okay, but we can't go on. if we go on, somebody has to carry a heavier financial load. Somebody has to carry a heavier sacrifice of time. Somebody has to carry a heavier sacrifice of labor. Things don't just happen in the Lord's Word. You just live life and all of a sudden things get done. It doesn't happen that way. God works through people. Somebody has to put forth effort. Them little van riders that come in on Sunday, it's not just by accident. Brian don't just drive through there and they jump out the door and jump on the van to get a free ride. It don't happen that way. He invests time. He knocks on doors. He talks to parents. He promotes the church with the parents. He spends time with the children. He sacrifices many times a blessing on Sunday morning to watch those children, make sure they behave and they're not out of line, and it takes him out of the service. What is that? That's a sacrifice of labor to further the ministry of this church and to enhance the work of God. If he doesn't do that, can I just tell you, there's probably not another one of you that will. Brother Brian, I'm not putting pressure on you. If you didn't do it, we probably wouldn't have Van Round. There's a couple of guys that go to the prison. If they didn't go, we probably wouldn't have an influence in the prison. Now, if we expand our work, somebody has to sacrifice more. And here's something else. If we expand our work, we have to expand our facilities. Now, right now, we're down here in the fellowship. All you walk in there, it makes you mad. I mean, boxes stacked all the way to the ceiling. We've got probably 40 or 50,000 pounds of literature sitting in there. And it aggravates you. And the reason it is, we're doing things we don't have facilities to do with. Now, if we're going to stay in shipping Bibles to countries that really, they don't have Bibles, to third world countries, can I say to you, we'll have to have a facility someday. You know what that's going to take? That's going to take some of y'all giving your money up. That's how it works. Right now, we're running 90 and 90 today, 92 last week. How many of you felt cramped today with a little crowd we had? 90 people. The visitors came in, they had to sit right on top of members. You ever went to a church and just been packed and you have to sit right on top of people you don't know? It's very awkward, isn't it? Here's the fact of the matter. If we help more young people and we help more families and the Lord blesses us somewhere, sometime down the road, we'll have to have a bigger church. And here's what you're saying. Well, you're trying to get modern. You're trying to be big. I ain't trying to do anything. I want to do more for the Lord. I hope that is a problem for us. I hope we can help more children. I hope we can have more young people that we influence for God. I hope there's more young families that come in that we can teach and preach. But if we do, somebody has to sacrifice. Not just financially, but they'll have to sacrifice their time and their labor. Somebody has to give. And here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I got to ask myself. Are we giving enough people? And we are giving. You know I've never preached on money. I don't do it. I don't have to. You all love the Lord and you give. But if we expand, somebody has to give a little more. Am I making any sense to y'all? I'm talking about going on for God. If we go on, Now we can just sit here with our little, with what we got and just make it work. You know we made it. We made it work in 2022. And we had a good time many times. God passed through here and we shouted out. But can we do more for His glory? Does He want us to go on? Does He want you to go on? Does He want your children to go on? Dad, I can preach and I can give truth to your children, but it's not enough. You have to do that. I can back up what, if you declare truth and I get up and declare truth, I can back up what you're saying. But the fact of the matter is, you have that primary responsibility. I want to say this to you, dads. It's not enough to have Sunday morning and Sunday night and 45 minutes or an hour or whatever it is on Wednesday night. That's not enough for your children. It's not enough. You know the home was instituted by God. The Lord gave children parents to guide and direct them and help them get where they need to get and to grow into adulthood. Y'all know that. But you're going to have to give if you help your children. You can't sit on your backside or watch TV or run to your bedroom and hide out or do whatever you do with your life and your children get what they're supposed to get. You can't do it. Somebody has to give. That's all I'm saying. If we go on, if we do more, if your family does more, if your children grow spiritually, if we expand spiritually, there's some things that has to happen. We have to want to go on. We have to know where we're at and who we are. We have to have some direction. And I think a plan, a plan don't always work out, but you need a plan to attempt to follow. You may have to adjust it. You may have to make change, but my, you need something. You need a track so you know when you get off track, you missed it somewhere. And then we need persistence to go on. Here's what happens. If the devil can't rob you of your salvation, he'll rob you of your productiveness in the Lord's work. He'll rob you of that. Do you count in the Lord's work? What was it the devil said, Paul, I know? Do you do enough for God that even the devil recognizes your name? That's something to ask you. You reckon the devil knows your name? You reckon he knows your children? My, there's so many things I'd like to do. I'd like to ship containers of Bibles. I feel good about that. I feel good about sending Bibles to third world countries. I don't know that we can. It'll take just what I've said tonight. I'd like to have more, a bigger congregation to preach to. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I could stay right here. Matter of fact, it'd be the easy road to stay right here and just ride it out. That'd be the easy path. And I'd be happy to do that. But in my heart, I want to do more for Him. And here's my question. Do you? Do you? And I just ask you to chew on it. I'm not. There's some things I've been unfaithful in. I'm ashamed to tell you. I'm sending out within that 5-mile radius, I'm sending out that 2 or 3 page paragraph message. And it worked so well, I just got busy and didn't do it. I don't know if I got busy. I don't know if I wasn't just lazy about it. I've repented of it, and I'm going to try to try to do better. Now, I'm going to tell you something else I bought into, and I think I'm right on it. The more I think about it, we knocked doors for 15 years, and we saw no results to speak of. And it's not about results if that's what God wants. But here's what door knocking does for a church. It doesn't necessarily bring people in, but what it does, it helps the door knocker. It keeps you alert to opportunities to share Christ. It maintains your boldness. That's where I'm at on that. And I've probably failed you on that. I do see the other side of that, and I know it's dangerous in this day and time. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't do something about, if you don't make a conscious effort, if the church doesn't push you to make a conscious effort to witness, and you're not so inclined, some of you are outgoing, that's not a problem. But many of you are like me and introverted. If you're not careful, you'll just let that part of your Christian life just slip away. You know I'm telling it right. And so there's some things we'll do different, and we'll make a conscious effort to do, and it'll be more work. It'll be more. And I know some of you feel like you're overworked now, but I'll never forget what James Jones said. He said this to me one time. Maybe he said it in the pulpit. He's never found a backside, a downward side to this mountain he's climbing. Here's what I'm saying. We're in a work. If we're right, we're in a work for the Lord. And the fact of the matter is, there's nowhere to quit. There's really nowhere to back up. There's really nowhere to retreat to. I don't know how something as great as the Lord's work, we can do anything but give our best to it. He gave His Son for us, and we won't even give Him our time. Now, I've said all that. I want to leave you with, and I'm through. And really, all I'm doing, I've not preached to you, and I've not taken a text and preached thus saith the Word of God, but I've shared with you my heart. I want to do more. I don't know if we're able to do more. I really don't know that. I don't know that we're spiritually where we need to be, that we can do more. But it's in my heart to try to do more. And I'm going to try. And I'm probably going to push a little bit. And I know people don't like to be pushed, but maybe that's how it needs to be. I don't know. But I don't want to just sit around and do nothing and try to shout it out on Sunday and come back next Sunday and shout it out and not do anything for Him. Now, what I'm going to do at the year end, I'm going to tell you what we have done. And we have done some things. Don't think we haven't. We've accomplished some things, but we've let some things slip through the cracks. And if the Lord will help me, I'm going to try to do better. I heard this missionary, I believe it was Adoniram Judson, said this: there will be no spiritual success without sacrifice. And then he goes on and says, if you have spiritual success without sacrifice, someone before you sacrificed. And if you sacrifice and do not have spiritual success, someone after you will succeed. And I thought about that. I believe that's right. We're going to have to be sacrificial people. That's all I know. And maybe you are. Maybe you're doing everything you can. But I'm going to try to do a little more. I'm going to try to do better in 2023. Not for any other reason than for the glory of God. I want to do more for Him. He's worthy. He's worthy. How about you? Let's bow our heads tonight. I don't know that we need an invitation, but I'm going to give one. Maybe God spoke to your heart. I know He's been dealing with me in several ways. And if He has, and you're serious about going on with Him, maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need to pray at your seat. I don't know what you need, but I want to give you an opportunity tonight. While grace plays, would you obey the Spirit of God?